Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In Chicago, two comedian skeptics named Andy and Art were mysteriously abducted by the illusionary mastermind and conspiracy theorist known only as Mr. Bunker. The following serves as a record of Bunker's attempt to convince non-believers of the truth about conspiracies and paranormal activity. Andy and Art give an uninterrupted presentation and verdict on the plausibility of these offbeat topics, delivering what they call the whole enchilada. Will Mr. Bunker convince these two skeptics any of this is real? Will it convince you?
Welcome to Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Art Stone, and with me, as always, is your co-host,
Andy Hart.
Ho, 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 Mr. Art, do you expect me to talk?
Wait,
I'm supposed to be Goldfinger.
Yeah, you're Goldfinger.
Ho, 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 Mr. Art. Expect you to die.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm covered in gold.
Oh, Jesus. Andy, you're already finger banging the whole thing up. Gold finger.
Gold finger banging.
Gold finger banging the whole thing up already.
Yeah.
You know, Andy, speaking of gold finger banging, we've got a golden topic and a golden guest today, don't we?
Yeah, this is probably going to go down as one of our most golden episodes ever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're just literally going to, bunkfuckers, we're going to literally shower you with gold during this episode. There's going to be... This is just a golden shower coming right your way. I mean, and we're not here to piss you off.
Yeah.
We're not here to piss around. We're not taking the piss.
Right.
This is just straight golden showers for the next XXX amount of time. Insert the time there. Note to self for post. Insert the amount of time later. We'll do it in post.
Yeah.
Art, cut all this out.
Yeah,
this
I'm going to cut it definitely, out. Definitely going to cut all this out.
Okay, but now we're back in.
We're back
this
in the
is
show.
What should go.
And so, I mean, we have a great guest today, Andy, and this is probably going to be his first and last time ever coming on this show.
Not our choice.
Not our choice.
His choice.
Yeah. He's making the smart choice.
Right.
Because he's a smart guy.
He's a smart guy.
And we, you know, let's get him into the bunk bunkers here.
Yes, yes. We'd like to introduce to you our special guest today, Josh Schell.
Josh Schell.
Welcome, Josh.
Josh, you host the Let's Start a Cult podcast.
Yes.
And you also host...
co-host
the
Reddit on Wiki.
Reddit on Wiki podcast with John and Sean. And you can find Josh's links, Let's Start a Cult, at letsstartacultpodcast.com and redditonwiki.com. Josh, welcome to the bunker.
You guys nailed that. That was an excellent, excellent introduction.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Josh, I'd like to say right off at the top, if you go to www.letsstartacultpodcast.com, where you can find all the recent Let's Start a Cult podcast episodes, at the top you have a banner that says Practice Safe Sex. And sex is spelled S-E-C-T-S. That's very funny.
Well, thank you. I change that banner up every once in a while, you know, keep it cult related. I want people to know that when they are joining a sect, to make sure it's safe, you know.
You got
to
practice safe sex.
Yeah.
Looking out for people.
It's really a public service when you think about it.
It's true.
Exactly. Yeah, now, people come to me for the expertise. Yeah.
Of course.
Now, Josh, tell us a little bit. Tell us and the bunkfuckers a little bit about Let's Start a Cult podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, as you guys know, cause you've been on it, exactly. Yeah. So if you want to get into it, go check out that episode with Art and Andy. Yeah. So I have guests on and then I, essentially teach them how to start a cult by dissecting a cult each episode. And, we break down how the leader was raised of that specific cult. And then we go into how they started the cult and how it usually inevitably ends. So it's sometimes dark, but it's always a good time.
And an important feature of Let's Start a Cult is the cult rating at the end of the episode, which I think is a very fun feature.
That's right.
Where you and your guest rate how good a cult it is.
That's true. We do that. Some would say controversial. I would say fun.
I agree. Fun.
Yeah, we're all having fun here. Josh, what kind of led you to wanting to start a cult? Like what led you to wanting to talk about cults and explore those? Because they're very much, like you said, a lot of the topics can be a little dark. Occasionally they're kind of fun, but like, you know, you have to toe a line of like, you know, not, you know, you try and rip in, you know, you don't want to punch down on the people who join the cult, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes punching down is required, but not all the time. I found like during the pandemic, I started watching, some documentaries and just trying to find podcasts on cult because I'm a big podcaster. So I'm always looking for cult podcasts. And there's some good ones out there, but none that really, you know, tweaked my interest. You know, I like the conversation with a guest and stuff like that. But Parcast Network was the only big one, and they just kind of, you know.
You wanted to do your own thing. You wanted to say, hey, this is the Josh Shell take on I the Golden Boy take, in. Which is, of course, your nickname.
Josh, the Golden Boy Shell.
That's right.
I haven't heard that nickname before, but I
appreciate
that.
Oh, you haven't?
Oh, well, it's making its way around the internet.
Lots of people are talking about
it. In the communities. Wow.
Well, that's awesome. You sure it's not another Josh? It's a common white guy name. I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure it's you, Josh.
Yeah,
you're the Golden Boy.
I mean, regardless of what anybody else says, you are the Golden Boy in my mind.
Yeah, so you wanted to kind of give your own spin, your own take, do something you wanted to do, you know, on cults. And that's, I mean, that's pretty solid. That's definitely, I think a lot of podcasters and a lot of people can identify with that. Now, obviously, you know, Josh, I think tangential maybe to cults is the world of the bizarre and the paranormal and the weird and the conspiracy that we kind of cover. You know, we've covered in the past Heaven's Gate, which is kind of tied in. We've covered Jim Jones before. But what's kind of where do you lean on those sorts of topics? Like if you were in the X-Files, are you more of a Mulder or you're more of a Scully?
Oh, your audience is going to hate me. I haven't watched X-Files.
That's okay. Are you more of a believer or a skeptic? Which one?
Oh, definitely more of a skeptic.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I mean, I entertain the idea.
Sure.
I'll always listen to the other side, and I like to hear people's experiences because I think that's fascinating in its own. Even
that's
if
true.
Someone believes they've seen a ghost or something, you know, aliens or something like that, I think that's telling of the human psyche more than anything, which I find interesting. So it is interesting just in a different way, I think, as a non-believer, I guess.
Wow. What a like emotionally connected and like humanistic take that is very much not expected and much needed on a show like this.
Yeah, what a breath of fresh air for this podcast.
Wait, where do you guys lean?
We're definitely in the skeptic camp. For sure. Like you, I think we find these sorts of topics entertaining.
We're in a lot of other camps as well that people want to try and put us in. They keep trying to like put us away in different camps and like forget about us,
send us off
to camp.
You know, when I was a kid, my parents sent me to summer camp and forgot to pick me up for 3 years.
That's right.
Forgot.
They forgot.
They remembered when the court reminded them. Because I got kicked out of the camp forcibly.
Yeah.
Josh, okay, so you're more of a skeptic.
Right.
But you have some familiarity with these types of topics. Is there any, have you ever heard of a conspiracy or something maybe paranormal that really just kind of hooked you a little bit? Something that you do believe?
Oh my.
Or have you ever had a paranormal experience?
You ever seen an alien?
I've never seen an alien. No, I've never really had paranormal experiences. You know, when you're a kid, you have, you know, nightmares and stuff when after you read too many Goosebumps books. But
good choice.
Conspiracy
stupid
wise,
fucking doll.
conspiracy wise, I kind of just, you know, they're kind of wild right now. There's too many to
That's
keep
true.
Track of.
There is a lot, and you know, and then, you know, you just kind of entertain the ideas. I mean, you know, not everybody has those at the ready to be like, oh yeah, this is my one baby. This is my one that I just gotta have. yeah. I mean, up there in old Canada, have you ever you've never run into anything kind of spooky or strange or bizarre? Any kind of cryptids either, maybe? Like something that's kind of Canada focused, like some kind of like hockey playing, like goat, half like human thing that plays hockey, and
the
you guys
goatly?
The goatly.
Yeah. Wayne Gretzky, the goat.
Good answer.
Wow. The Edmonton? What do you play for?
Edmonton, LA, right. And the Rangers, and St. Louis, I think, for a bit.
Do you consider him the greatest hockey player of all time?
Oh, man. For sure right now, but Connor McDavid is gunning for that spot for sure.
Shout out to Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid. Hit us up
Big
if you want to be on the show too.
Yeah.
We'll bring Josh back. Talk about hockey conspiracies.
You guys can talk about hockey conspiracies.
There we go.
Puck?
There's actually quite a few hockey conspiracies. I can't think of any right now, but I know there's like paying the ref and stuff that, or you know, finals being rigged or something like
that. We might have to bring Josh the Golden Boy back because we covered sports are fake before, which is a prevalent conspiracy where people believe that all sports leagues are rigged. But because Andy and I are. We're just not the biggest hockey guys. I think the NHL didn't get a lot of good representation there. And
That's fair.
Unfortunately. And I mean, boy, we gotta dig into to why that league sucks.
We can talk about how the Leafs are cursed. The Toronto Maple Leafs.
That's right. They've never won, right? That's kind of their thing.
They haven't won since 67, I think.
Wow.
So I think they're the longest sports franchise that hasn't won a trophy or cup in that long. So and sadly they are my team. So
double whammy.
Double whammy. Yeah.
It's fun to watch them get out in the first round every year. So
I love it when your team makes the playoffs and then gets knocked out immediately.
Yeah. That's really
no,
great.
Not immediately. They make it to game seven every time, but they fuck it up in spectacular fashion.
Well, that's even better.
It's true. Maybe there's some kind of
the heartbreak is what keeps you coming back for more.
That's true. And maybe like there is like a paranormal or conspiracy thing you believe in, which is the curse of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Do they have some kind of curse or thing?
Because you know,
somebody bring like a weird bird to a game once, and
we're here in Chicago, and famously we had the Chicago Cubs were cursed for a long, long time before they broke that spell in 2016.
That was a goat.
someone brought a goat to the stands or something, and they
killed the goat.
What did they do? They eat
they
the
made
goat.
The goat leave.
They made the goat leave.
You know, they said you're never going to win a World Series.
Yeah,
get out of here, goat.
Did anything like that happen with the Maple Leafs?
Yeah, they have any sort of animal or other tie-in?
That's a great question. I don't know if they've actually had a curse.
They're just cursed with bad management.
So I from what I can just recalling off the top of my head, there was some sort of plane crash, and I can't remember if it was there was part of the team was on it or something like that back in the 60s or something. I don't know. But they haven't won since that crash. Maybe is what I'm thinking. But again, we'll come. You guys can have me back on, I'll do a little bit more research.
Oh wow! Okay.
Well, we'll have to see if we can afford to have you back on because you charge a very high price here.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not cheap.
Now, Josh, no offense, but Maple Leafs not a very threatening mascot.
That's true.
Yeah, the mascot's a polar bear. So
now that's a cool. Josh, what's your take on the Seattle Kraken?
Oh, love that name.
You love that colors. Name. You think that's great.
Agree, totally.
It's a very cool name.
And their colors are probably one of the best in the NHL.
They really are.
If not all of sports. They're just it's so different. It's just so different from any other one. And then Kraken is just
I mean, you get to say release the Kraken. I mean, anytime exactly. you can say that, you know.
I mean, in terms of the marketing of Seattle Kraken, like that's got to be up there in terms of sports, like
right.
the name, the branding of it, like it's very well done.
My only criticism is I remember when they first announced the team, they started calling the fan base the Crackheads, which, you know, not great, but it's kind of funny.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah. I would be a crackhead for sure.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
Anyway.
For different reasons.
Okay. God. All right. Moving on. Cut that out. Anyway. Josh, have you ever, let's start a cult. You've covered quite a few cults by this point.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any cult that was your favorite or like any episode in the Let's Start a Cult catalog that's your favorite?
Some Bunk Funkers wanted to come and check out www.letstartacultpodcast.com where you can find all your social media links and all your past episodes. I mean, what kind of cults jump out to you? What were you like, oh my God, this cult?
Oh man, there's so many. So some of the fun ones are the dark ones. I'm not going to lie, just because they are weird. And so the Anthill Kids, for that reason, is definitely one that it is interesting. And on top of that, it was one of the camps they stayed at or areas they stayed at was like an hour away from where I grew up, which was kind of cool. So I haven't had a cult that close to me before. Now, granted, this was like before I was born, so it's not not like I was associated with them or anything, but
that's a pretty suspicious thing to throw in there. Nobody
proven.
Was accusing you of being associated with them.
Hasn't been proven anyway.
Maybe the Golden Boy is actually the Axe Boy.
Yes, the torture. He tortured people. It was awful. But
it is a very dark one. That you definitely you mentioned that as a topic we could potentially cover, and maybe we will one day.
Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting one. The one with you guys on was great. The Saul Newton one, that was a fun one. And then the House of David was a really interesting one because it was mostly a whole like not wholehearted is the wrong
word.
It's
kind of more tame. It's a little bit more tame, right?
Yeah. It basically was a town that, and then they were just really, really good at baseball, which is weird. So,
and that's one that's still ongoing.
Kind of. The town still exists, and there still are people that probably practice it within the town, but I think it's a minority now, or much less than there was in their heyday. So
for sure.
But yeah, definitely still around. So that's kind of cool. Not many cults last that long.
That's true.
Yeah.
Thankfully. And you know, Bunk Funkers, obviously, please check out Let's Start a Cult podcast wherever you can get fine podcasts. I mean, you got them on all the different podcatchers. But again, you can find them at letstartacultpodcast.com.
And don't forget to also check out Reddit on Wiki.
That's right.
Redditonwiki.com.
And that is where you guys...
It's kind of just a hashpaj,
that's
right?
That's a hashpaj, a smorgasbord, right?
A smorgasbord, yeah. That's a great great description. Yeah, we kind of... Wow. So each week, there's three of us. So each week, one of us takes a topic, and then we, you know... The research is shittier on that podcast, I'll say.
That feels right at home with us.
Yeah, that's why we like it so much.
we kind of do whatever we want. So I do a lot of history stuff because I don't get to do that as much on Let's Start a Cult, which I find fun. And then my buddy John does, he'll do paranormal stuff. He's done Aswang, which are Filipino monsters. I believe they're comparable to Brothers Grimm.
It's like a cryptid kind of paranormal monster. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's done an episode on that. I think we're going to return to that as well. We've also done Brothers Grimm. So that's a fun one.
Oh.
And then Sean does a lot of sports stuff, but he also has us read Not Safe for Work. Fantasy.
Wow. Man after our own hearts.
Yeah. Every third episode you get some us reading smut anyway.
And there's a lot of that on the Patreon too, am I right?
Not yet, but Sean is really pushing for that. So it might be a series soon on Patreon for us.
Wow. Well, if you ever uncover any Hung Steinpecker or C.S. Puis, you know, we'll, but maybe we can send you some links someday to those famous erotic fantasy authors of lore? I don't know. Whatever the fucking phrase is.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha.
Anyway, I mean, we got a great topic, though. A great cult topic. I mean, you know, not great as in like, oh, yay, cults. But this is a fascinating one that I think a lot of people maybe haven't heard of.
Yeah.
But it covers a wide array of different topics. It's considered a kind of UFO-style cult, also maybe a doomsday cult. You could kind of break it down in different ways. But this is a great one here. This is Chen Tao here on Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast. Wow, Bunkies, we have quite an episode for you today.
Oh yeah, baby. This episode is going to be one of our classic episodes, but also obscure and cool. A cult classic, if you will.
Ooh-wee, goo-goo-ga. My catchphrase. Andy, that's very on the nose because today we're talking about a cult. And so we figured there's no one better to help us serve up the whole enchilada on a topic quite like this than Josh Schell of Let's Start a Cult Podcast. Let's Start a Cult Podcast.com at @let's_cult on Instagram and Twitter, and co-host of Reddit on Wiki, redditonwiki.com. That is R-E-D-D-I-T on Wiki. Josh, thank you for being here and lending us your cult expertise.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Well, I'm glad to be here to talk about cults. I don't necessarily think that I'm an expert, you know? It's not like I would actually be able to start my own cult yet.
Anyway. Yeah, I guess that's true. It's not like you're some kind of, I don't know, charismatic, narcissistic, megalomaniac bent on controlling people's lives.
I mean, not that that's been proven anyway.
Okay. Anyway, let's dig into this topic, huh? Come on. Our story begins with a person named Chen Hongming, or in some sources, Chen Hongmin, who was born April 22nd, 1955 in Taiwan. I don't know why I said it like that.
I believe that is the, you know, Chinese pronunciation, Taiwan.
I don't know why I said it. Taiwan, which you might not. I'm just putting weird accents on stuff, which you might know by its proper name, the Republic of China.
Yeah, just try and shut us down, CCP.
Oh, my God. Hey, Andy, remember, we agreed we were going to stop antagonizing the People's Republic of China after we woke up with those decapitated Winnie the Pooh plushies in our beds. Can you just try and keep yourself under control for once?
I guess. Fucking CCP.
I mean, you want to wake up with more Winnie the Pooh heads?
No, I don't.
Because you kind of freaked out.
It was scary. Those dead eyes.
It doesn't mean anything until it's Tigger in cut in your head. You know?
That's true. That's true, Josh. Anyway, Hongming said that growing up, his parents and he observed customs of Chinese folk religion and that his parents were Buddhist. But, you know, religion was not a particularly big part of the Chen household. Chen grew up to become a sociology professor at Qianan College of Pharmacology and Science in Taiwan, where he worked from 1983 to 1993. Pretty good stretch.
Yeah. Hongming said he was an atheist until he had a spiritual revelation in 1992. Chen believed he had been called by God to dedicate his life to religion. Hongming began reading lots of spiritual texts like the Bible and the Tao Te Ching and the Buddhist Sutras. Perhaps you've heard of them.
I think I've heard of them, but have you guys heard of my book? It's called The Joshuanist Manifesto. It's basically just my thoughts on, you know, how great I am and why people should follow my examples in living their lives. You guys should you should check it out for sure, Andy.
Oh wow! Look, there just happens to be a copy right here. I'm gonna start reading this right now.
Please, you know, go ahead. And while you're doing that, I can spend some quality time with the Bunk Funkers. So, Bunk Funkers, as part of his spiritual journey, Hong Ming sought out New Age religious teachers he could pay to teach him about their religions. Eventually, Hong Ming joined a religious group called Research Group of Soul Light, which combined traditional Chinese spiritual practices with technology. The group was originally founded by Shen Yuhisha, who Hong Ming believed was the incarnation of the Holy Spirit and the Maitreya Buddha. Once again, Hong Ming paid handsomely to receive spiritual guidance and teaching. But after a while, Hong Ming decided it was sinful for a religious teacher to get rich off their students. He even accused the leader of the research group of Soul Light of being part devil. So along with other disaffected followers, Hong Ming left the group to start his own religion with blackjack and hookers.
Wow.
Good choice.
Yeah, that's not devilish at all, baby. That's fun. So it was that in 1993, Shen founded a religion that was kind of like a Sunday bar of theology. Ooh, like a Sizzler Sunday bar. The religion was originally officially listed as the Soul Light Resurgence Association, or SLRA, and incorporated elements of Qigong, Buddhism, Christianity, New Age religions, and, you know, more. It's real, you know, you got your cherries, you got your nuts, you get your, what else? You get your little, maybe
banana.
Banana, you've got your banana pieces. Your
rainbow sprinkles,
all whipped sorts
creams.
Of whipped cream. Mm. It also had a fun element, and this is probably the cherry on top, of extraterrestrial spacecrafts. Neato.
Speaking of neato, wow, what a great book, Josh.
Oh boy.
I didn't even realize how much I was contributing to the moral decay of humanity.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious.
I guess really, I kind of always suspected it was true, but it's good to know for sure. I mean, thanks be to Big Sky Daddy, Josh, that you're here to help me get back on the right track.
Anytime. That'll be $29.99 a month.
You got it. I'll Venmo you. Anyway, let's talk about some of the SLRA doctrine. One of the beliefs of the SLRA was that of the transmigration of souls, which is basically the process by which the permanent soul can transfer to a new impermanent body at the time of the old body's death. Each incarnation of the soul is another opportunity for the soul to increase its purity. In the SLRA's model, by the way, there are three souls for every person. There's your Beautiful. Main soul light, which is the primary soul that stays constant through each incarnation of the soul. There are also the so-called temporal conscious soul and the physical soul, which work together with the main soul light. In a fun note, Hong Ming believed that in a past life, he fathered Jesus Christ.
Hong Ming taught followers that the world was plagued by outside souls, which were naughty souls causing all kinds of trouble and which were sometimes demonic. Outside souls feed on spiritual light energies of people and the spiritual air of the mountains and the rivers. Beyond outside souls, there are also devils. Devils actually try to possess humans in order to use them to increase the total evil on earth. There are also fallen angels, which are called King Satans or Heavenly Devil Kings.
Wow. Heavenly Devil Kings was also the name of the swing revival cover band I formed in high school. We only covered Cherry Pop and Daddy songs, though.
You start a few Zoot Suit Riots?
Oh, I was Zoot Suiting up and down the aisles, baby. I was looking fancy in my purple Zoot Suit and my slick back hair with chemicals, pomade, whatever. My hair was slick back. I looked good.
Handsome Dan's.
I was handsome. Anywho. According to Hong Ming, the King Satans, which is also a very cool name,
yeah,
caused five cataclysmic nuclear war events called Great Tribulations, going all the way back to when dinosaurs ruled the planet and installed their corrupt dino government that ignored their impact on the planet and caused a terrible environmental disaster by detonating nuclear bombs in volcanoes in an attempt to trigger rainfall, dooming the dinos to icy extinction. I mean, you know, this is, you know, again, this is common knowledge, but for more information on the topic, please check out ABC's early 90s docuseries called Dinosaurs. It's all there.
Mm-hmm.
Nuclear war was clearly a focus for the group. The SLRA's cosmogony. Now, what does that mean?
Cosmogony?
Yeah.
That's the...
Is that like a cool... Like, is that like mahogany from space?
No, yeah. It's like
desk when... Desk cos mahogany?
When two stars love each other, they settle down for the rest of their life.
Yeah, now there's some space wood.
Oh, Jesus Christ. They posited that the universe was created by nuclear war. So it's their genesis story.
Yeah, cosmogony is basically your ideas about the origins of the universe.
So the SLRA's ideas about the origin of the universe, for all the lay people out there, was that the universe was created by nuclear war and was actually a 4.5 trillion years old, much older than the scientific consensus of around 14 billion years old.
Holy. You usually hear like the other way around where it's...
Yeah,
like not as old.
this is
like,
the opposite of young Earth. This is extremely old Earth.
This is ancient Earth. This Earth is old, baby. This Earth is getting AARP.
Yeah, this is a senior Earth.
Yeah, this Earth is going to dinner at 4:30 p.m. on the dot and getting the discount.
This Earth needs a little blue pill to help it.
Spacewood. So Han Ming taught that in each of the great tribulations, beings who lived in North America were saved by God, who rescued them using a flying saucer, like a benevolent Darth Vader, just like Big Sky Daddy Josh. Uncanny.
Josh does wear a cape.
I do.
Well, he should. Yeah. He's a superhero.
That's true. If you guys did video, you'd see it right now.
Yeah. We'd like to have video.
That's on Patreon only, actually.
So Han Ming believed himself to be a prophet who could save people from the coming apocalypse and deliver their salvation. It was prophesied that the next great tribulation would happen in 1999. Ultimately, Han Ming believed that spaceships designed to look like clouds would land on Earth and take the spiritually pure away from the troubles.
Spiritual energy was also a big focus of the SLRA philosophy. Han Ming believed that God is one with the magnetic field of the void, which is heaven, and divides his spiritual light energy to create a new life. The group constructed a temple in Peipu Village in Hsinchu County in Taiwan. This was because Han Ming believed Peipu was a point where spiritual energy could flow from heaven to earth. Han Ming also believed that on February 11th, 1996, all Buddhas and God would descend on Peipu. The temple was to be a base allowing God to operate on Earth.
Now, despite the special energy in Peipu, Han Ming began preaching that in order to escape the 1999 tribulation, the SLRA members would have to move to North America, which Han Ming referred to as the Pure Land of God. Now, remember, bunkfuckers, only beings living in North America were saved during the other Great Tribulations.
By this time, the SLRA had multiple sites in Taiwan, and Han Ming attempted to get the followers from each site to move to the USA. Some of the followers decided to move, but a lot more decided to stay in Taiwan. Han Ming gathered the folks who were willing to move and started Chen Tao, or the True Way. In early 1997, Han Ming and about 25 Chen Tao members migrated to the Los Angeles suburb of San Dimas in California in the United States. After moving to the USA, the group registered as God's Salvation Church. By now, you can tell that Han Ming's religion has been called a lot of different names, and while these names are all fine, in Taiwan, the group was sometimes called the God Saves the Earth Flying Saucer Foundation, which is such a friggin' good name.
That's a good name.
Art, is that also the name of a deep cut Fleetwood Mac track? Let me know.
It is 100%.
I don't know how to answer to that Fleetwood Mac question, but I do know that name is a mouthful. I would have named my religion something, you know, pretty simple and accessible, like, I don't know, the Church of Josh or something. Just rolls off the tongue.
Wow. Damn. That's a great name. That's definitely a church I would join.
And you can soon.
Oh, baby.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, in August 1997, Han Ming decided the Shen Tao faith should move to Dallas, suburb of Garland, Texas, in the U.S., in the USA, because he thought God would go to Garland because it sounds kind of like Godland.
I mean, default is logic.
No, it checks out, guys, because that's why I spent so much time in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. I'm waiting for my muscles to arrive.
Have they showed up yet?
I mean, if we had video, you tell me, Josh. So.
That's Patreon only again.
That's Patreon only, baby.
They haven't.
No, they. I could show you. They're coming.
Okay.
There's some definition there.
Yeah, they don't have Prime shipping. I get it.
Yeah. Anywho's, the Shen Tao group caused quite a stir when they migrated to Garland. Even though their numbers were relatively small at first, the group kept bringing members from California and Taiwan. At its peak, it was reported that the group had about 160 members in Garland, including 40 children. The group bought more than 25 homes in an upper middle class neighborhood. Now, according to the Dallas Morning News, quote, they dressed in white, wore cowboy hats, and drove luxury cars, end quote. I mean, kind of fucking cool.
Yeah.
They look like Doug Dimmadome, owner of the Dimmesdale Dimmadome. Or is it Dale Dimmadome? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Dimmadome.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what they kind of look like.
They do look like that.
And at one point early on in their time in Garland, the group dressed in white robes and traditional Chinese farmer hats, then hopped on their bikes and rode around Garland, leaving pamphlets on people's doors.
The last people that drove around to Texas in white robes. It's not good.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that. Hey. So anyway, despite Chen Tao's friggin' cool dress code, Garland police were concerned about the safety of the group. Keep in mind, this all was happening after the Branch Davidian tragedy in Waco, which was also in Texas, as well as the Heaven's Gate cult mass suicide. Check out our Heaven's Gate episode for the whole enchilada on that topic and on their website.
The fear of mass suicide was also exacerbated due to the Taiwanese press running negative stories about the group, including claims of brainwashing, extortion, and possible mass suicide. Fears were also stoked due to an incident in San Dimas, which also got a decent amount of media coverage. A 16-year-old Shen Tao member, Shang Nianhao, was living in San Dima with her father and uncle, who were also Shen Tao members. Shang's mother was not a fan of Shen Tao and remained in Taiwan while her husband and daughter moved to the USA. Shang's father unfortunately died while in the USA, but he wanted his daughter to stay with her, uncle and Shen Tao members to ride out the 1999 tribulation. Shang herself also wanted to stay with the group because she was a Shen Tao believer. Shang's mother found out her husband died, and so she came to California to get her daughter, fearing a mass suicide. Shang's mother told local police that her daughter was being held against her will, so police put Shang in custody and reunited her with her mother, who intended to relocate Shang back to Taiwan. Despite evidence to the contrary, Shen Tao was sometimes painted by the media as a dangerous group. They were also sometimes painted as an oddity, or maybe as a kind of funny group. And to be fair, Han Ming was also used the press to spread Shen Tao beliefs. There was a bit of symbiotic relation between Shen Tao and the media.
Now, beyond the fears of mass suicide, Shen Tao's presence also upset some of the Garland locals who contacted authorities in some cases. So with the context of law enforcement action in California, negative press and, you know, neighbor complaints, Garland police got involved with Shen Tao. Police feared there could be an outbreak of violence or that the group would harm themselves. In order to get a handle on the situation, Garland police engaged a religious studies professor from Southern Methodist University to help communicate with the Shen Tao faithful. Ultimately, there were no violent events, and police were able to successfully build a dialogue with the Shen Tao members, the community, and media, and, you know, the situation never got out of control. It seems like we rarely ever talk about something that involves the police actually doing something right. So great job, Garland Police. At least in this instance, you might have messed up plenty of other stuff. But, you know, you got this one right, it seems.
Credit where it's due.
Here's a gold star. Keep it up.
So while the group was in Garland, while Shentao was in Garland, Han Ming prophesied that things would start to get real at the end of March of 1998. According to Han Ming, God was going to announce his second coming on Channel 18 on all TVs in North America on March 25th, 1998 at 12:01 a.m., regardless if you had cable or not. I mean, this is clearly a benevolent God, much more benevolent than Comcast or AT&T.
That's right.
So then on March 31st, 1998 at 10 a.m., Han Ming prophesied that God would come to Earth to Han Ming's house in a human form with the same physical features as Han Ming, but with the added abilities to speak all languages, walk through walls, and replicate this incarnation to greet the faithful all at once. Now, following God's arrival during the Great Tribulation of 1999, Han Ming prophesied that God would take control of UFOs to save the faithful. God would then transport them to the shores of Sacred Lake, Michigan, to Gary, Indiana. Later, they would go to outer space and eventually to heaven.
In the lead up to God's appearance, the Shentao members performed a baptism-like ritual in Duck Creek, which ran beside Han Ming's backyard. Some of the men in the group also shaved their heads. When the big night of March 24th arrived, there was a great media interest in what would happen on Channel 18 in the wee hours of the morning of the 25th. The Shentao congregation was buzzing, anticipating seeing God on the tube. Well, unfortunately, the time came and went, and there was nothing on Channel 18 except static.
It should have turned to the E channel.
It should have turned to the Playboy channel.
God. Oh, okay. All right, Mr. Moneybags.
God's sitting there. He's like, damn it, I said 19.
Now, not long after, at 12:25 a.m. in a pretty depressing press conference, Han Ming admitted that he was wrong and that his prophecy about God appearing on the 31st of March was, quote, nonsense, end quote. Which is not something you see very often.
Yeah. No. That's big of him.
While Han Ming continued to express his belief in God and God's plan to rescue people from 1999's tribulation, he also sounded a little defeated, saying, quote, I have never referred to myself as a prophet. I would recommend anybody not believe what I said anymore, end quote. I mean, I guess, wow, I'm having some introspection because that last line is probably something Andy and I should adopt.
Jeez. I mean, I don't mean to scoff, but I didn't adopt any of my fourth wife, Velzetta's kids from her first two marriages. Why would I adopt that phrase?
Well, you know, in a way, we're all children of the same big sky daddy. I think you should show compassion for Velzetta's children. And in fact, all people in general.
You're making a lot of sense, Josh. When we're done here, I'm going to have that restraining order lifted. And I'm going to adopt Velzetta's kids.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Good. Good.
That was not a good marriage.
I'm finally going to be the father of Velzetta's children from her first two marriages.
No, God. Oh, no.
Oh, I didn't have the full context.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, Bone Funkers, you might think Han Ming was being hard on himself, saying that nobody should believe him. But hey, if the shoe fits, Han Ming actually didn't have a great record with prophecy. In mid-1997, he and some of the Shentao followers went to Vancouver in Canada to search for a prophesied, quote-unquote, Jesus of the West. According to Han Ming, this Western Jesus was a 27- to 30-year-old, 6-foot-tall man from Vancouver who looked like Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
That's everyone in Vancouver.
Well, yeah, that's fair.
That's true.
Very burly lumberjack types in Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly. They're all over the mountains.
Now, what's fun is that Shentao placed personal ads in local newspapers in Vancouver, which, I mean, if we had to guess, were probably some of the best personal ads ever placed.
True.
Unfortunately, the Jesus of the West never made himself known. Now, interesting to note, the Jesus of the West was one of two Jesuses that Han Ming believed were on Earth, one from Canada and one from Taiwan, a.k.a. Jesus of the East. The Jesus of the East was a preteen boy and member of the Shentao group. Another boy among the Chentao faithful was believed to be the reincarnation of Buddha.
After a couple days of meditating on why God didn't appear on Channel 18, Han Ming did what any respectable religious leader would have done in that situation. He changed his theology to help make his prophecy come true.
Smart.
Yep. Always pivot. You always got to be pivoting. That's mm-hmm, the first that's thing right. you learn in business. On March 27th, 1998, Han Ming put out a press release to explain that every person can cultivate their own spirit to become part of God. Quote, "In truth, human soul and conscience are homogeneous to the structure of God's holy character. Therefore, please seek the perfection of conscience in your soul. God will help you become God." End quote. With this wrinkle in mind, Han Ming reiterated that God would appear on March 31st in the same image as Han Ming. Wink, wink.
Then on March 31st, just a little before 10 a.m., Han Ming went out of his house to greet the gathered crowd waiting for God, which is a lot different from, it's some ways it's different, some ways it's not different for waiting for Godot.
Yeah, waiting for God, though.
Yeah, waiting for God, though. Han Ming asked everyone to shake their own hand. Then in a true gotcha moment, Han Ming told everyone that indeed, God had replicated enough to shake everyone's hand because remember, each of us can become God. So if we're all God and we're all sitting here shaking our hands with each other, then guess what? God is shaking hands with everybody in the room.
Yep.
Gotcha. Now, this also means that, boom, God can now demonstrably speak all languages. Gotcha. You just got fucking punked.
Checkmate.
Checkmate.
Checkmate, atheists.
Where's Ashton Kutcher?
Where is Ashton? Now, Han Ming said, quote, "The kingdom of God has descended, and God has already changed into human beings. You, yourself, are God. You are human beings as well as God. This is a chance given to us to play the role of God." End quote. Pretty clever girl. Clever. Clever girl. You know, dinosaurs, they were talking about dinosaurs.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, Jurassic Park.
Clever girl. Yeah, you get it.
Now, to prove that he was like God, Han Ming then stared directly at the sun for a little bit and then told the media that he would have gone blind if he wasn't part God. To be fair, it was reported that Han Ming was blinking profusely after looking at the sun. Now, even though the sun stunt was a little silly, Han Ming still appeared to want to help people spiritually, imploring people to repent their sins, to open their minds, and to stop eating meat. He said that dead animals might visit you in your dreams, asking you why they died. He also said, quote, "If you often eat the buttocks of chicken, you will soon find you have a pain in your ass," end quote. Excuse me? This guy was talking about eating ass? This truly was a millenarian religion.
This press conference was a little bit more aggressive than the presser after the failed TV appearance. Han Ming tried to blame the media for misrepresenting his prophecies and beliefs of the group. Honestly, it's not a totally unfair charge. At the conclusion of the press conference, Han Ming offered to let the group stone him or crucify him. He had previously said that he should face death if any of his prophecies failed to materialize. Nobody took him up on the offer, which seemed like a real missed opportunity because, honestly, how many times is someone going to ask you to stone or crucify them? You know? I mean, in my lifetime, it's often, but most people's, it's probably not that many.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's a good point, Josh. You know, so far, nobody has offered to let me stone or crucify them. And it's almost like, you know, I don't know. I feel silly saying this. It's almost like you knew my whole past. I mean, you know, I guess that leads me. Can you see the future? I don't know.
You mean like prophecies? Because it's kind of funny you mentioned that, Art, because prophecy is exactly what we're going to talk about next.
Holy shit. He's right. He foresaw the next part of the script.
Calm down.
Okay. Here we go.
Andy is riled up, Bunk Bunkers.
Wow.
just take a
THO through the max.
Sip of water, you know, look into the sun.
Yeah, look into the sun.
Oh, that's
from
the better.
Bunker. Oh, I know it's hard to see when we're in the bunker here, but
there we go.
My there's a little slit you can see in that. There's a cut in the concrete. You can kind of look out there.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's better. Okay. Whew. So after the God-returning prophecies failed to come to fruition, a lot of Chen Tao members said, quote, fuck this, and went back to Taiwan. That's a quote.
Really?
No.
Oh.
While others applied for legal immigrant status to stay in the USA, some other members experienced problems with their visas and were forced to return to Taiwan. Ultimately, about two-thirds of the membership left Chen Tao after the failed Second Coming. Han Ming then moved the much smaller Chen Tao congregation, reportedly only about 35 members strong.
That's still a decent congregation.
I mean, that's not bad,
but small compared to what he had.
Yeah, much smaller than 160. Anyway, the congregation moved to upstate New York in the USA. In New York, the group began to focus on the events of the Great Tribulation, which would include a bunch of military and natural disaster events, including a Second Korean War, which would culminate in nuclear war between the Republic of China and the People's Republic of China, which would devastate the world and leave only 20% of Earth's population alive. The event would cause God to return to Earth in his quote-unquote God plane to save the Chen Tao faithful.
All of this was originally predicted to happen, of course, in 1999. The timing was later revised since, you know, that didn't happen in 1999. The new date was, according to a spokesperson, Richard Liu?
Liu? Liu, yeah.
Richard Liu. Quote, in the next year, we have no specific date. End quote. Since there were expected events all through 1999, Han Ming had to keep revising his prophecy as those expected events failed to occur. For example, at the beginning of 1999, it was prophesied that China would attack Taiwan. When that didn't happen, they revised the specifics of the attack to be more generic. Military tension. The prediction of the start of the Second Korean War also failed to materialize.
Now, to help explain why these prophecies went unfulfilled, Han Ming and Richard Liu put out a video basically, you know, explaining that they figured out that the religious rituals that Chen Tao performed in the past had helped to actually avert the military crises in early 1999. So, I mean, kudos to them. And they said that the rituals only postponed the devastation, and if people didn't start to increase their holiness, you know, these ugly events were likely to happen in the future. So, you know, at this point, they still expected a full-on nuclear war to break out later in 1999. You know, Chen Tao should have started a moving company for the NFL since they're so good at moving the goalposts. Thank you.
Got him.
Thank you.
Wow. Is that part of your type five?
That's my type five, baby. I do only Chen Tao and cult-related humor.
And the NFL.
And you have to know the backstory to get any of the jokes.
That's true, you do.
So also in 1999, a Chen Tao branch opened in Brooklyn in New York City. Han Ming and the other Chen Tao faithful, which by this time numbered only about 30 people, held gatherings in Central Park and offered spiritual help to AIDS and cancer sufferers. Apparently, the group believed these ailments were actually spiritual problems rather than physical illnesses. Wow. Blaming cancer patients and AIDS sufferers for being sick is certainly a pretty harsh turn from hypothetical nuclear war and spaceship visitation.
Yeah, that's tough. You know, it's not very compassionate, that's for sure. Not like the Church of Josh, which is all about compassion, actually.
Huh. You know, I've been perusing this book. Does it seem like a very uplifting philosophy? You know, I was doubtful at first. Call me doubting Artemis. But, you know, I think I'd actually love to become a member of the Church of Josh. I'm, you know.
Well, good news, everyone. Anybody can join.
Oh, wow.
Oh. To fulfill our mission as laid out in the Joshunist manifesto, we do need a lot of funds. So just go ahead and give me all your money and personal property. That way we can provide for all of our members. It may seem like I'm hoarding all your wealth and living out a life of luxury while you live in a cheaply constructed and poorly furnished dormitories, but that's just your negative energy clouding your judgment.
Oh, you're so right. Ah, I just got to stop having negative thoughts. Thank you, Teacher Josh.
Please, call me Big Ground Daddy Josh.
Thank you, Big Ground Daddy Josh. Hey, whatever happened to Chen Tao, though, after all that patient-blaming bullshit?
Great question.
Hey, glad you asked, Art. I talk to myself now in the third person. Because that's what Big Ground Daddy Josh told me to do.
Yeah.
To help get rid of the negative thoughts.
It helps clear your thoughts and, right. You know, stops people from talking to you more.
Yes, which is a good thing.
Yes.
In 2002, Shen Tao went through its own tribulation when Han Ming was kicked out of the group by other high-ranking members. Holy shit. The Han Ming-less Shen Tao rebranded itself as the Grand True Way and became a more traditional Chinese Buddhist organization. The leader of the Grand True Way was none other than Shen Tao's, Han Ming's former right-hand bro, Richard Liu, and the former spokesperson for Shen Tao.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, Jesus man. Christ. We got to talk about that in the
discussion. Backstabbers.
That's crazy. As of the time of this recording, the status of Shen Tao is unknown. In fact, Shen Han Ming's whereabouts are not known. We don't know where he's at. It's anybody's guess, but, you know, maybe he was right all along. And now he's on God's plane, surfing the fucking stars with Jesus and the Silver Surfer. Who knows? But, you know, hey, we're going to give you our verdict, Spunk Funkers. But, you know, what do you think? Was Hong Ming a prophetic voice trying to save the world from certain destruction by helping us clean up our karma? And I'm not talking about Reddit on Wiki karma. I'm just talking about regular karma. Or was he just some guy who started a cult?
Great questions, Art. Big Ground Daddy Josh, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom.
You truly are a light in the darkness, Big Ground Daddy Josh.
Thank you. Thank you both. I can sense the purity in your souls, but I need to be sure that you're really committed to the Church of Josh and to living by the tenets of the Joshunist manifesto. You must prove your loyalty to me.
We'll do anything, Big Ground Daddy Josh. Anything.
Okay, Andy, please. Just keep your clothes on.
Yeah, jeez.
Anything.
Jeez. No, Andy, zip it up.
Okay.
I don't need to see the light on all your body, okay? Keep some stuff in the darkness, all right? All you have to do is just close your eyes and shut them tight. Open your mouths and just trust that what I'm going to put in your mouth will nourish your tummies, your mind tummies, and your soul tummies.
The whole enchilada.
Yummy.
Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time podcast will be right back after this brief message.
Did you guys hear about that couple that went on vacation and one spouse murdered the other? In fact, the entire vacation was planned just so that they could make the murder look like an accident.
Ah, so like a slaycation.
Oh boy, sounds like a fun new true crime podcast to me.
On every episode of Slaycation, we'll examine true cases of people who were killed while on vacation.
Was it murder? Or just a horrible accident? That's up to you and the law to decide.
But either way, if you leave for your vacation in the plane and come home under the plane, you've definitely gone on a slaycation.
Join us every week for a fascinating new episode.
911, what's your emergency?
But make sure to pack your body bags,
because getting away can be murder.
This is Slaycation.
Hey, welcome back, Bunk Funkers. That was our research of Shentao. With us still is Big Ground Daddy, Golden Boy, Big Sky Daddy, Josh Shell of Let's Start a Cult Podcast and Reddit on Wiki Podcast. Let'sStartACultPodcast.com, Reddit on Wiki.com. Hi, Josh.
Hey, glad to be back.
Now, Josh, what are let's ask, what are some blanket statements? What are some blanket thoughts, like just general thoughts on Shentao? Kind of, is this more, I feel like this one, let me put words in your mouth here, sure. Josh. I have a tendency to put things in people's mouths that I shouldn't.
As long as it's enchiladas, you know.
That's right. But I feel like this cult topic deviates from maybe a lot of other ones that you've covered in the past. Is that fair to say?
It has a different, different trajectory. Wow. Like the cult leader doesn't go until the end, you know what I mean?
He doesn't. He doesn't make it to the end.
Yeah. So
it's
that's
a bit of a twist.
A little strange.
Yeah.
But I would say it still does definitely have that cult arc, that cult narrative, I guess you'd say.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, he starts off trying out a different cult and realizing that that person's kind of ripping them off and promises a sect of the people that he can do better and we can do better, and takes them, and then it goes downhill from there, essentially. So
true.
I think it does kind of track with most other cults.
It's kind of a benign cult.
I would say it is, on the scale of cults, like, you know, you talked about Ant Hill Kids or you talk about fucking People's Temple. It's like, I mean, it's kind of, it's, if on, you know, like it's in the middle at the very least.
It's pretty tame.
Yeah, if we're going on the cult scale from, you know, like least extreme to most extreme. Least extreme being cult one and most extreme being cult 45. this is definitely like at best medium.
Yeah.
It's like cult 15, 18.
Yeah. I would definitely say it probably leans closer to religion than cult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I don't exactly know if he was taking people's money. It's probably assumed that he was, so that's kind of shitty. But from what we've heard, it wasn't abusive. They didn't do a suicide pact. He was just kind of trying to get followers. And
yeah, they're walking around dressed up like Doug Dimmadome, fucking the big old Texas 10-gallon hats, white suits, luxury fucking driving down in their BMWs or their Mercedes-Benzes. just fucking rolling, baby, on fucking 22-inch rims. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean...
the money aspect is a bit of a question with this.
Yeah, where's this money coming from?
Mm-hmm. Apparently, a lot of the Shentao members were actually wealthy people.
Wow.
Either through inherited wealth or they have been, like, you know, successful in their careers or whatever. Mm. And they had wealth. And, you know, a lot of people had to sell... The less well-off people had to, like, sell all their possessions to move to the USA to have money to do that. So there's some sort of a collective element here, but it doesn't really seem like Han Ming is, like, forcing people to give up their own personal wealth and sign it over to him or to the group so that he gets to decide what to do with it. It seems like people who had wealth were allowed to maintain their own personal wealth.
Well, that's good. That's something that's different from a lot of cults.
Right.
Usually
I feel like it's easy to identify a little bit with Han Ming here because he comes out hard. I mean, at least me, he comes out fucking bold with this big statement on March, whatever, like Jesus is going to be on TV and then it doesn't happen. He's like, oh God, I'm sorry. I fucked up.
Please, not only that, he called the channel. He's like, channel 18. Yeah. It's going to be
channel
there.
Channel 18, baby. It's going to be there. And then it doesn't happen. And he just goes, oh fuck. All right, guys, seriously, don't listen to me. I'm an idiot. Like, please.
Yeah. I mean,
kind of like,
he is different from a lot of cult leaders in that way that he kind of,
right.
And I don't know if it was maybe a manipulative top, like he was being self-deprecating to try and get pity, maybe. I don't know, but I mean, not a lot of cult leaders admit fault, and
yeah,
they usually outwardly blame people, which he did outwardly blame the media. And in fairness, I think a lot of the Chinese media or Taiwanese media might have been unfair to them at some points, but he was pretty conservative in not lashing out at people, you know what I mean?
I think the climate at the time in Taiwan, if I'm understanding it correctly, is that...
Well, you're a Taiwanese historian.
Yeah, of course. I know everything about the history of Taiwan, but please, we don't have time to ask me any questions.
That's right.
We'll have to stick to the topic at hand, and I can't answer any other questions about Taiwan. Actually, the only thing I really know about Taiwan is that it became Taiwan after the Chinese Civil War, when the Communist Party took over the mainland and the Republican government of China got exiled to the island of Taiwan. Oh. And so what's interesting now, geopolitically speaking, is that the People's Republic of China claims all of mainland China and Taiwan as part of Chinese territory.
Right.
And Taiwan, the Republic of Taiwan, the Republic of China, that government also claims Taiwan plus all of mainland China as part of their domain. So it's very, that's why you see, you know, today, geopolitically speaking, like governments,
right,
like with a close relationship with China, like having a hard time having also a close relationship with Taiwan,
right,
because they sort of both claim the exact same territory, so both are illegitimate to the other one.
Well, thank you, Taiwanese historian Andy.
Yeah, you're welcome. But I think at the time of Chen Tao, if I'm understanding things correctly, is that groups like Chen Tao were a relatively common thing.
Oh.
That there were a lot of, I'm going to say, like Buddhist or traditional Taiwanese Chinese folk religions.
Yeah.
That had kind of merged with sort of new age and UFO sort of religious elements.
UFOs were hot in the 90s.
And so there were like a few of these offshoot groups, and Chen Tao was one of them that I guess people thought was a little weird. And so they kind of got painted in a negative light. But, you know, at the same time, again, you know, you got the whole Branch Davidian thing. You got Heaven's Gate. Like, there were some high, well-publicized events of UFO-type cult religion things.
Fair concerns.
Yeah, that sort of led people to believe that these were dangerous groups.
Yeah. Yeah, they're coming over. Yeah, they're dressing the same. It's very like, oh boy, here we go.
Right.
It is an interesting phenomenon, like it within the modern times. If this was back in the day and like Christianity started out like this, if you think about it, like it was a small group that branched out, spread their word, and dressed the same and became a full-on religion. And then cults nowadays do a lot of the same thing. And it's hard to say where the line is, like when they become a religion, like Scientology, technically.
Right.
Right. It's a question of, would these cults become religions if given enough time and not pressured into collapsing, or, you know, or would they fizzle out themselves? So it's kind of an interesting, I don't know what you'd call it, like social experiment, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, no, it is sociology, right? Yeah. I mean, it's I think we talked about that pretty extensively when we guessed it on Let's Start a Cult Podcast, letsstartacultpodcast.com. Where you can find our Saul Newton and the Sullivanians cult topic, because, and we're not the first ones to make that argument, right? Like, I mean, it's like, yeah, like a lot of cults kind of start as that religion. And I think we may have said, like, you know, I think a lot of the times with a cult, it's kind of like that keeping you insulated into the cult, blocking you from. What are you doing? He's playing around with stuff. He's touching things in the bunker. He's messing around with toys in the bunker. He's got little toys. He's got little action figures. He's playing with them. He's getting up. He's putting his water down. He's fidgeting. Now he's back. He's seated.
Had to move my cord.
And you know he has a cord. He has a CPAP machine going 24/7.
I can't breathe on my own without it.
Oh, that's
anymore.
What that noise is.
I have waking sleep apnea.
No, but I think that, and I think Chen Tao is kind of interesting in that, like, in the end, I mean, they were kind of harmless to a degree, obviously making fun of fucking cancer patients and AIDS patients.
Not great.
That was quite a turn, in my opinion.
But, I mean, you know, when you compare it to some of the other things that have happened in cults, relatively tame, but very new agey. But then they were just sort of like, get the fuck out of here, dude. We're done with this bullshit, like prophecy, doomsday bullshit. Like, we're just going to be like kind of Buddhist-esque now.
Yeah.
And also, we're going to chill here in Texas. Go away.
I mean, love Texas.
Josh, New York, wherever they were at.
Josh, I don't know how you feel about this, but I kind of feel like Han Ming had to walk this razor's edge line where, in order to keep people interested in what was going on, there had to be some sort of event, You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there had to be something else. Cause you know, if you just say, oh, it's basically just like a reincarnation, like, and you increase your purity. Like, he's not really peddling anything new. So he kind of had to like add it in this doomsday element. And if people aren't really presently afraid of the end of the world, it's probably not easy to get them to commit to anything. So he had to kind of throw out this 1999 date. But then by doing that, he also made a definitive hard stop. Like, you're either going to be right or you're going to be wrong.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, I don't know. He had to walk this line of like trying to make a thing that would encourage people to join, which was moderately successful at. But then also you kind of set yourself up for failure unless you actually do know something.
Yeah, that's where it gets tricky, because a lot of cults do this, right? They make a doomsday. This is when end of time is going to happen. And then that time comes and they go, oh, shoot, I actually meant this date. And they have to reevaluate. Right. And I can guarantee they lose people after the first date. My question is, because... And again, I hate bringing this back to Christianity, because I know it's not a cult. No one, please don't anyone attack us for this, but it does have like that end day, right? That second coming of Jesus, where he comes down and saves everyone, right? So there is that quote unquote doomsday scenario where if you're a non-believer, you're not going to get taken up. What they did correctly though was they didn't put a date on it. They're just like, sometime he's coming, you know?
It's going to happen.
No, I think that... Oh, go ahead, Josh.
Oh, and I was just going to say, I don't know why cult leaders don't do that more, where they're like, sometime this will happen. And I don't know if it's just because they don't have maybe the clout that Christianity did when they made that prediction. But I would say, like, at least set it like further back in time rather than like a year or two ahead of time, you know, give yourself a little bit of breathing room to come up with a next lie or something.
Right.
It doesn't make sense.
In a lot of ways, I think that Christianity, you know, it's a smart thing because it does increase that urgency. Because like with Christianity, it's like, well, you only get one shot. But I feel like with Buddhism, it's sort of like nobody wants to come back as a slug.
Right.
But you kind of get infinite
especially
lives.
When you were like a human slug like yourself.
Right. I mean, I don't care. I will be a slug.
I
mean,
actually, I think a slug would be an upgrade for you.
A slug would be nice. I would love if somebody would coat me in salt and that I would just dissolve into the salt. I mean, I wish that would happen now. So, with where there's reincarnation of your soul, I kind of feel like there's more than one chance, right? Like you get do-overs. You get a mulligan. But like with Christianity, it's sort of like you get one life. And then at the end, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell.
You get one opportunity.
Don't miss your chance.
Right.
You know, mom spaghetti.
Right.
Monster. Flying spaghetti monster. Mom's flying spaghetti monster.
Mom's flying spaghetti monster on his robes already. Which,
you know, it's what more progressive parents, that's what they refer to as mom's, you know, anatomical sex organs. Mom's flying spaghetti monster.
What the fuck?
Dad's going to go eat mom's flying spaghetti monster.
Jesus Christ.
You had me in the first half, not going to lie.
Yeah. I don't know where Andy's religion is going.
Hey, it's going to weird and wild places, baby.
Andy's offshoot of the flying spaghetti, Pastafarian flying spaghetti
See,
monster.
See, in my religion, the thing is, you don't even have one whole life. You get decided at the midway point. Whenever that is, you don't know how long you're going to live.
That's right.
But your fate's already decided. So
you either go
you
got to
be really good and you have to keep doing it because you don't know when it's going to be past the midway point.
Yeah. And you either go to heaven or you go to hell or you keep living and reevaluate again in 40 years or something.
Right. Because
it's a mortgage based cult.
Yeah. Yeah. You can refinance your life.
You can refinance your life at any time.
Get a low APR on your life.
Zero interest in Andy's life.
Pastor Andy's House of Life Lending. I'm giving 69%.
You know, this is a it's UFO cult is always kind of interesting to me too. That it's just like I also really enjoy the idea that they want to move to Garland because it sounds like Godland.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just like you know, that's just
the stretch.
Chef's kiss right there. I mean, that is like something I would do where it's like, well, it sounds like Godland.
Yeah. I also enjoy Gary, Indiana being like a holy site because the Great Lakes were a big focus. That's why they ended up in upstate New York.
Right.
You know, but Lake Michigan, Lake Erie, they're very like, they think that the Great Lakes are holy sites. And it's just so funny that of all the places along Lake Michigan is huge.
Yeah.
And there's so much land that abuts Lake Michigan.
Like four states, I think it touches.
And of all the places they could have picked, they picked Gary, Indiana in the mid-90s.
Gary, Indiana used to be a bustling, booming town.
Again, in the mid-90s, they picked Gary, Indiana.
No, not in the mid-90s, though. Strong decline on Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
I did appreciate the shout-out to Vancouver as a Canadian. You know?
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true. Jesus of the West. Josh, quick question. Have you ever seen the Jesus of the West?
Yeah, what's Jesus of the West been up to?
Well, I'm on the east coast of Canada, so I don't see the Jesus of the West as much.
Well, remember, this was just Jesus of the Western world.
Oh, I see. So,
not necessarily Western North America.
Right.
You know, the amount of hipsters I do see in...
Wow. See, I would think that, I mean, obviously, you know, you've got Jesus of the West, Jesus of the East, you got Jesus of Suburbia, which Green Day prophesied about.
Yeah.
I think I like the idea of Jesus of the East being a preteen boy. What do you think preteen Jesus would have been up to?
Crushing on girls. Oh, no, girls had cooties at that point, I guess.
Preteen, you're definitely, you know, you're kind of having those budding hormones, going through puberty.
Getting bullied. And I imagine it going like this. So, like, he's getting bullied in the school playground or whatever, and he gets pushed to the ground, and he says, "Stop it, or I won't give you a second life."
Turning water into wine keg parties, throwing keg parties, you know, washing people's feet. That was a big thing in the Bible.
Yeah.
Washing feet was huge.
Yeah. Real foot fetishists, right?
Big
in the Bible.
Foot fetishists.
You know, when Jesus got a little bit older, though, and he was in high school, unfortunately, there was a bit of a dust-up in his family and the family of a local girl because he got her immaculately pregnant, and she had to drop out of high school, and he had to become an auto mechanic to support her and the baby.
An auto mechanic?
Yeah, he had to quit high school, become an auto mechanic apprentice.
Not a carpenter?
No.
So
no calls for carpenters anymore.
He's the one that keeps trying to push the new filter on me when I go in, right?
That's right.
Damn it.
That's preteen Jesus.
I mean, you want to talk about somebody who can lube you in a jiffy.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
You'll be saying, "Jesus Christ, that was fast."
And they'll say, "Thank you.
I know.
Here's a tip is appreciated."
Cash, please.
What else about Chen Tao is a fun little nugget that we want to discuss, Andy? Any?
Are you digging the philosophy?
What do you mean?
Of Chen Tao? Transmigration of souls, God flying spaceships for salvation, five cataclysmic events with more to come.
Five cataclysmic.
What do you think about dinosaurs and a nuclear war?
That's
sick. Yeah, I love that.
That's fucking dope.
I think
the dinosaur government and all that stuff, and then there's a fucking nuclear bomb and it killed the dinosaurs. Yeah, that's fucking great.
Yeah, I'm all about that. That would be a good movie. I'd watch that.
Now, did you realize that was not a joke in the research, that the TV show Dinosaurs ends with the We Say So Corporation detonating nuclear bombs in volcanoes to encourage rainfall?
Oh, I actually did think that was a joke, so that's funny.
That's how the series ends.
Oh, God.
Nuclear winter.
I have to go they watch clear
it. That's not the ABC one, right? With Disney?
Yeah. The Jim Henson puppets.
What?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
that show.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the other one that was on the Disney Channel, which I guess I should have realized that would not be in your lexicon. That's probably in Josh and I's lexicon of Disney's Dinosaurs. You remember when that came out?
I do.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I do remember that one.
Let's see, Josh gets that.
What's that?
They had a dinosaur series. It was like a talking dinosaur. And there was like a Carnosaurus, and there's a ride about it at Disney or something.
Yeah, I think it's on Disney Plus, actually.
It's on Disney Plus, yeah. Andy.
Wow.
You wouldn't fucking know.
Well, you know, I was talking about the ABC sitcom Dinosaurs that was Jim Henson puppets. And
John Goodman?
I learned during research. No.
I'm not the mama.
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah,
that
I mean, the dad kind of looks like.
Those are creepy as hell.
Kevin Clash, the disgraced former Elmo puppeteer, worked on that show too.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah, they're creepy.
A lot of controversy in that one.
Yeah, it was a very controversial show.
I did hear about that ending, though. I am familiar with the ending of that. There's a nuclear bomb.
Mm-hmm. They clear cut the forest too much, or they make some sort of plant life extinct and it ruins the ecosystem. And so they decide they can plant a bunch more, but they need rain to make it grow. And so they decide the way to make rain would be to create clouds by detonating bombs inside of volcanoes.
That checks out.
Yeah, it checks out. I mean, that's what we do today.
Yeah.
Is we detonate nuclear bomb.
Yeah, we just detonate a nuclear bomb.
Yeah. And so that's what they did. And then it turned out, you know, to just bring on nuclear winter.
Interesting. So he came up with this prediction after the TV show. Do you think he was just a big fan of the TV show?
I guess it would have been sort of around the same time.
Yeah, I guess it would have been. It was 91 to 94 was the show. So,
yeah.
Wow.
So it would have been.
I mean, either close. This was in the zeitgeist or.
So, interesting factoid, calling this back to Heaven's Gate. When we were on it, we actually made the connection between that and Space Jam because we thought the connections were pretty similar with the basketball and the aliens. And we thought maybe they took some artistic values from the movie or vice versa. So maybe this is a similar thing where we can start our own conspiracy.
Wow. So it's like in the Hale Bopp comet was their own version of the Monstars.
Exactly. Yeah. That's good. So they were getting suited up to play the game and they lost apparently.
Wow. Yeah. Yikes.
Maybe they did win after all. Maybe they played some celestial basketball against ancient demons in heaven and they dunked on them hard.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I don't know. Josh, any other points about Chantal that you were just jonesing to bring up here? You're just Jim Jonesing to bring up here.
Jim Jonesing.
Before we maybe get to, we're going to have to figure out what our verdicts are. I guess we could kind of do some verdicts here. But are there any other factoids about the topic here that you want to bring up or about cults in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think as far as cults go, this is pretty pretty milquetoast. You know, it's pretty right in the middle. It's an interesting one and definitely has some wild predictions and prophecies. And then, yeah, again, going back to the calling out, what was it, AIDS survivors and stuff like that. Not great. So can't forget that. But as far as cults go.
Hey, you got AIDS and cancer. Yeah. It's your fault.
Yeah. 'Cause
you didn't pray enough to the UFO Jesus in his spaceship.
That part's the only probably part I would frown upon. But you know what I did think about? So this is like late 90s, early 2000s.
UFO Jesus and his badass abs.
And they're in New York in the early 2000s. You think there's a prediction they could have made about that if they were...
God, yeah.
You know,
man, can you imagine if they like...
Wow.
They fucking predicted that and then he was like, see? Oh, man, this would be a totally different topic.
Oh, it'd be still... We'd all be in this cult.
We'd all be Chantal, baby.
Yep. Yeah.
So. Wow, yeah, that is a real missed opportunity.
It seems like it. Maybe that's why they kicked him out.
For them to claim responsibility for 9/11.
Oh, God. Well,
that would have been a way to get the group publicized.
Would have taken some of it.
No, it wasn't terrorists. It was my religious group.
Yeah, would have taken some of the heat off of George.
Yeah. That's an interesting point, Josh. I hadn't even considered that.
Yeah, just something that clicked in there. I was like, you know, if you guys were really... prophesizing things, that could have been a big one.
How do you feel about cult leaders making prophecies in general, Josh? Good idea, bad idea?
Good idea in the sense that I could see it being useful as a cult leader because you're giving people an ultimatum, either believe me and then be saved or don't and die. So that's right.
You're striking a lot of fear into people.
Yeah. So it's a good
thing. This is going to happen. You either need to get on the fucking ship or get up. Shit on the pot. Get on the pot.
Shit on the pot.
Shit on the pot.
Sit on the
or
pot.
Or wipe that ass and get out. That's, you know.
That classic saying.
That old saying.
The classic saying.
That 14-trillion-year-old saying.
Yeah.
It actually is a Buddhist sutra. That is true.
Yeah. Classic chant of devotion.
So yeah, I think that would be my only, I think it's a useful manipulative tool, but not quite clever when they make their predictions so close to the time they're at or as specific as they do.
Now let's talk a little bit about the Church of Josh, because obviously we're now full-fledged members of big ground daddy, big sky daddy, Josh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would be the Church of Josh? Like, if you actually had to start a Church of Josh, what would be maybe one of the tenets? Would it be, obviously, I mean, let me predict one. Does it have to be that you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan?
Yeah, that would help.
I imagine the Church of Josh might say that the Toronto, you're going to predict wins of the Toronto Maple Leafs every single year and then just have to come up with excuses for why it's not your fault that they didn't win.
Yeah. Once they win, we all go to heaven. So we're going to be
That's a very positive outcome.
Maybe the Stanley Cup is actually a spaceship.
Ooh.
And when you win the Stanley Cup, your team wins it, you all get to get put inside of the Stanley Cup and get transported up into heaven.
No, not every team. Fuck those other teams.
But all the Church of Josh followers definitely would.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Everyone who's a Leafs fan would get to go up. Well, actually, that's not true. Wow. I don't like all Leafs fans. They're kind of annoying.
Oh, wow. Only Church of Josh members. Yeah. Gotta be a member.
You hear that, Thunder Bay?
Yeah. You gotta really, really believe and be positive about the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can't be negative like everyone seems to be online. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a fun one to do, be a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. And then if you've watched every game that season, you get to go to heaven if they win.
You stuck it out. You did those were your devotions.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's torture for years of, for an eternity of heaven. I think it's worth it.
You know what I like about Chen Tao? One thing I do like is how they retroactively, this made me think of this, retroactively like said, ow, we went back and we checked all this information that we had. And we actually did these rituals that, you know, made our predictions invalid.
That's pretty funny.
So the predictions were still true. It's just that we did stuff in the past that changed the future.
Ooh. It's like
that's smart. That's actually kind of a smart way to make your predictions be like, well, actually, it's like
my
that
prediction
that meme.
Was not
yes,
wrong,
but no. Yeah.
My prediction was not wrong. It's just that we didn't realize what we did in the past changed that. So when I received the prediction, it was right, but you know, it's since changed.
It's like the Marvel What If series. This is
true.
This is what would have happened if you guys believed harder.
That's a good point.
I think it's time to get to our verdicts here on Shen Tao. Now, obviously, I think we could make a verdict on where in the world is Shen Hanming.
Where in the world is Shen Hanming?
That's right. And maybe not as popular as where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, but...
not as sexy.
Where in the world is Shen Hanming? And we could also, I guess... I don't know. What else could we prophesize whether I think that's what we did for Heaven's Gate was like whether we actually
was Shen on did he know what he was talking about or not?
Was he right or not? I guess that would also make you a Shen Tao believer.
Right. But, if you go case confirmed, you are a Shen Tao believer.
Now, Josh, I'm gonna share with you this is a very likewise to your podcast, Let's Start a Cult, letsstartacultpodcast.com, the cult scale. We have the bunker scale of plausibility. Now, this is a scientifically tested. This is it's valid.
Einstein himself.
Einstein himself. That's true, Josh. So you're familiar. Einstein himself actually worked with the scale.
That's perfect.
And I'm going to share this with you. You can use it to help guide your prediction.
Okay.
Let me just quickly. There we go. Cool. So,
so there's a little bit of explanation on how to use the scale.
That's right. Andy, so, please teach Josh how to use the scale.
So, Josh, what you'll notice is that from the left, We have case closed. That's the furthest on the red part of the scale. That basically means that in this context, you're saying Chen Tao, don't believe it at all. Han Ming, way off base. nothing was right about it. Case closed. And then you go, there's lots of little, you know, we go from plausible quark to plausible antiproton, plausible molecule, plausible smidge, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
We get straight in the middle. That's just straight up plausible. You could go either way. And that's a valid verdict, too, to say straight plausible. To all the way to the right side of the scale, the green side, which is case confirmed. In this context, that'd be you saying, you know what? Han Ming was right. Chen Tao, everything was correct about it. The tribulation of 1999 was averted by the holiness of the Chen Tao membership. Thank them for their service. We need to find Han Ming right away so we can all achieve salvation. So that's how you use the scale.
Okay.
So I guess I'll get kicked off. And
yeah.
I'll give my verdict.
Yeah. And then Josh, we can throw it to you.
Sure.
If you'd like to.
Yeah, that, absolutely.
Defer to me.
I'm going to give this a plausible quirk.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why. Cause I really, obviously a lot of the prophecies didn't come true.
No.
And I'm not so much in belief of like, oh, they actually averted it by doing spiritual things in the past. That feels like just a cover, but you know what? I'm going to say, I don't know that Han Ming was so off base on the fact that there probably is some sort of like big disaster coming for humanity.
Okay.
And
all
that
right.
We probably do have to change things. I mean, sure. this is a very TJW kind of verdict for me, I guess, a little
yeah.
bit. But there are things that we should change as a species in order to like ensure that we don't completely destroy the Earth.
Sure.
So I'm giving him a little bit of credit for at least raising the awareness. Plus, he seemed kind of genuine about caring about people's spiritual development.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll give him a smidge of credit.
Wow.
Well, a quark of credit.
A quark of credit, which is not very much.
As for Chen Han Ming's whereabouts.
His whereabouts.
Where in the world? I got to guess he's in Taiwan.
Wow.
I would guess that. You know, he probably was like, I got kicked out of this group.
Got to feel pretty defeated after that.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of, your whole church left you. The fact that he sort of disappears and that it just doesn't seem like anybody knows what happened to him just leads me to believe that he probably went back to Taiwan. Maybe he's in Peipu right now.
Yeah.
In
gotta some, love to see his LinkedIn profile. Yeah. Or like his resume when he's trying to apply to new jobs. Like, well, what were you doing from 1994 to 1999. Oh, I started my own. I was an entrepreneur. Started my own business.
I was an entrepreneur. I ran a little company called Chen Tao. So I bet he's just lying low in
yeah.
Taiwan. You know, I don't think that he probably got rescued by God on a spaceship.
No, perfectly acceptable verdict yeah. here, Andy. Now, Josh, obviously, now the ball, the verdict ball. Has been passed to you. You can either pass it to me or take your own verdict.
Or you can slam it home.
Or you can slam dunk it home, Josh.
I'll actually nuke it.
Oh!
Whoa!
Here's your chance. Do your dance. It's the verdict jam.
So I am going to go with plausible smidge, I think.
Wow.
Okay.
So my reasoning, because they take a lot of stuff from Buddhism, and I don't want to shit all over Buddhism. I think it's a fine religion. You know, it's
right.
not hurting anyone. It's they believe you come back. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But definitely off on all of his predictions. I think mm-hmm. he was a false prophet in that regards. And I think he was way off with the cancer stuff. So I keep shooting at that one, but we can't forget it because it is terrible. And
pretty bad one.
I think there was a good reason why he was kicked out of his cult and they started trending more towards Buddhism rather than prophecies. So definitely going to give it a plausible smidge because the smidge is for the Buddhism, the non-plausibility is for all of his prophecies. And
okay, very fair, Josh, very fair.
And where do you think Han Ming is today?
Where is he?
I think Han Ming,
Josh is like, well, I'd love to welcome to the show
is oh in
my
bunker.
Landlord Han Ming.
I've invited him. No, I'm gonna say he's in Montana, aka God's country.
Wow.
Great
suggestion.
I think he got confused again and just
he's in
like,
Big Sky Daddy country.
Yeah. I think he was confused and went, oh, that one has God in its name. We'll go there.
Wow. Call him Han Ming Montana because
yeah.
I was hoping it would sound more like him.
It kind of did. Yeah.
I picked up on it.
Yeah, I got that.
There's definitely something there. We can workshop that.
I mean, he was traveling miles and miles.
He's got a blonde wig. That's why we haven't found him yet.
That's why we haven't found him. Yeah, he's wearing a wig. He's actually Sia.
Oh, there we go.
He's going to get abducted from the chandeliers.
That's right. Now, Josh, that was a absolute, you really did, you dropped a nuclear bomb of a verdict. That was perfect.
Awesome.
I'm going to go case confirmed on the dinosaur theory because that is fucking awesome.
It's been documented.
No, actually, I'm going to go case closed on everything. I'm going to be the one.
All the way, baby.
Yeah, no, this is just a guy who kind of, he didn't have a lot of that, like that bite. Like if he was cheese, he'd just kind of be like a Monterey Jack.
That's fair.
A serviceable cheese. A cheese that you can add to something to make it stretchier, meltier,
what
creamier.
The fuck is this?
Can you fucking relax? You bring up cheese and something.
Mediocre?
I didn't say mediocre. I said Monterey Jack serves a purpose.
Okay.
But when you compare it to sharp cheddar, I'm talking about like that biting, that cult leader narcissism, that sharp cheddar. Like when you look at like a Jim Jones, you look at like even the Heaven's Gate cult guy, Applewood, Applewhite.
It leaves that taste. You look at that. I get you.
Yeah. It's like that. They have that biting narcissism, that charisma, that cult leader status. Whereas I think Han Ming, you know, he's just kind of like he's there, but he's not. What cult leader looks and says like, "Oh my God, I was wrong, you guys. I'm a fucking loser. Like, don't believe me. I'm sorry. Crucify
you know
me,
whose
please.
Fault it was."
Yeah.
Cancer patients.
Right, right.
AIDS patients.
Yeah. I think he got a little carried away. This guy was a sociology professor. He knew social manipulation. He knew what to do, but I think that his heart wasn't in it maybe as much. And I think, yeah, he got kicked out and then I think he's done. I don't think he did anything. And I'm going to say he's in Canada.
Oh,
wow.
In Vancouver, looking for Jesus of the West.
My
favorite John Wayne movie.
Grow my beard and go out there and see if he identifies me.
Yeah. Yeah, he's wearing, he's
Josh, the more you can look like Abraham Lincoln, the better.
That's true, Josh.
I'm trying to think if I could. I don't think I could. I'm not tall enough.
That's really what the whole point of this podcast was, is
we just really want to get you to look like Abraham Lincoln.
We need to start looking more like Abraham Lincoln.
All right, okay. I'll grow my beard out.
A historical figure who is not associated with the country in which you were born. Yeah,
very true.
But don't worry, you'll be splitting rails in no time, my man. True. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
But Bunkfunkers, those were our verdicts on Shentao. Let us know what you think. Use the hashtag.
It's got to be something like Dino Nuclear War or...
Oh, I love it. Dino Nuclear War. Let us know what you think about Shentao. But before you do that, please do us a favor. Check out our friend, Golden Boy / Big Sky Daddy, Josh Shell's podcasts. Let'sStartACultPodcast.com for Let's Start A Cult and Reddit on Wiki, redditonwiki.com. Josh, anything else you want to plug? Anything else you want to talk about besides those two shows? If you got another show in the works or anything fun coming up with those two shows, some episodes you're excited about, please.
Oh, man. I couldn't do another show. That'd be way too many shows. but
you're collecting shows.
Yeah.
Bless you, Andy.
Thank you.
I want to do Scientology eventually. That might be early next year.
Wow.
Is that going to be a multi-parter? That's a big one.
That will be a multi-parter. And if you don't hear me afterwards, you will know why. Tom Cruise hunted me down.
You went to wherever you live, Josh, it's going to be bought by the Church of Scientology.
Yeah. Just all of Ottawa. He's going to buy it and then find me. So I'm excited for that one. In regards to Reddit on Wiki, we're always doing fun and new things.
Very cool.
Trying to think what we just did, a Nick Cage episode.
Very fun.
The Superman movie that never released. So that's a good one. Starring.
What about Patreons? Patreons for the two podcasts. You have Patreons where people can go and or donate, give a little bit of support to the indie podcasters out there.
Yeah, if you want to support Reddit on Wiki, if you go listen to the show and you love it, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/RedditOnWiki. As far as Let's Start a Cult, I only have a Buy Me a Coffee. So if you go to my website, there's a little Buy Me a Coffee button in the bottom left. If you click that, you can support me with however much you want. I appreciate that.
There you go.
Have some bonus stuff on Reddit on Wiki coming out soon. And then you can also get episodes a week early if you support us on Patreon there.
There you go.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you again, Josh. Now, obviously, after you've checked out Let's Start a Cult and Reddit on Wiki, you, of course, can, you know, find us at MrBunkerPod@gmail.com, at MrBunkerPod on Twitter and Instagram.
MrBunkersConspiracyTime.com.
MrBunkersConspiracyTime.com.
Find us on, if you feel so inclined and you have the means to do so,
there you go.
Please feel free to, we would welcome the support of the show. Just go to patreon.com/MrBunkerPod. Check out our videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
We're at youtube.com/something/MrBunkerPod. You can also just search Mr. Bunker's Conspiracy Time Podcast.
Actually, if you just search Mr. Bunker into YouTube, I did it the other day, a Mr. Beast video comes up first, but then we come up second.
Wow. Number two on YouTube.
You're coming for the Mr. Beast throne, eh?
That's right.
Yeah, we're coming after you, Mr. Beast. Watch out. Watch out.
And fun fact, if you do all that for Mr. Bunker, go subscribe to everything, you automatically get a pass to the Church of Josh. So,
Wow. Look at that.
What a great tie-in. Yeah.
There you go, Bunk Funkers.
This is your chance to worship Big Sky Daddy Josh with the help of Prophet Big Ground Daddy Josh.
Hell yeah.
Josh, thank you again so much for taking the time to be here in the bunker with us. Any last words before we eject you out of the bunker?
Is it like, did my chair just shoot me out?
You'll see.
Does the ceiling open at least?
It's better if it's a surprise.
Yeah.
It's better if you don't know exactly how it's going to happen because you don't want to tense up your body.
Will you want to go up or will you go down?
You want to be loose and ready for anything.
Gotcha. Okay. It's hard to be loose now, but either way, I appreciate you guys having me on and I appreciate you guys coming on to my podcast.
Shout
out to that episode.
Thank
if you guys want to check that one out. You guys were great in that. And then, I look forward to eventually coming back on and talking Toronto Maple Leafs because I don't get to do that enough. My girlfriend's sick of hearing it. So.
We'll be your girlfriends.
Yep. Yeah. We know what it's like to have significant others who are sick of us and don't want to spend any time with us.
Well, for our amazing guest today, Josh Schell, but not for the titular Mr. Bunker, and for my desolate co-host. Yeah, my desolate co-host, Andy Hart. I'm Art Stone saying that was the whole enchilada.
Yummy.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, And from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.